joining me now. He's the executive director of the Indiana Libertarian Party. Chris Spangle, welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
Hey, Gary, how are you doing?
I am doing excellent. And yourself?
Oh, fantastic. It's a sunny day, and I'm never unhappy on a sunny day.
Obviously, you're in a different part of the state than I'm in right now.
Well, I'm in Indianapolis. I'm driving around 465 right now. So.
Let me ask you this. How is it ever a sunny day driving around 465?
Well, speed limit 55? I don't even know what the speed limit is, but I know I'm not going that. So where I'm through construction zones, and, you know, I take it easy. I drive slow. I don't want to cause any problems. Don't get any tickets, anything like that. So
I can tell you, I used to work at Merrill Lynch. We started off on 116th Street and then moved down to 96th Street. There is nothing happy about that drive down through there.
No, I live in Greenwood on the south side of Indianapolis. I was born and raised in Plainfield out by the airport. And I just, anything I can do to avoid the north side and Castleton and Fishers, it's I don't know how those people do it up there. God bless them.
Well, I want to start with you. First of all, you guys put on a great event almost a couple weeks ago with Governor Gary Johnson coming to town. Just take a few minutes and reflect upon that event that you guys did.
Oh, it was fantastic. You know, we had two or three cycles ago, we had, that was probably the last time we had a presidential candidate come through, and it was at like a diner in Richmond, and there weren't a lot of people. You know, I wasn't aware of it. I was, you know, still a dirty, dirty Republican back then, you know, and I think, you know, the feeling within the party amongst the people who have been involved a long time, have an event where, you know, it sells out in 5 days, a week before the event's held, and it fills up a 500-person room, and if we hadn't sold out of tickets, we probably, you know, would have had a line out the door and had to use that overflow room, you know, to have that kind of energy and excitement for one of our presidential candidates, I think speaks to the change that is kind of coming to politics, especially here in Indiana. You know, it was an electrifying event, and it really fired up the base here in Indiana. And, you know, it was fantastic. And we had a great after party, too. And I want to thank you for taking the time off the show and coming down and emceeing the event. You did a great job, and it was a lot of fun.
I will attest to that. It was a lot of fun, and it was great meeting Governor Johnson. We've had him on this show, I think, more than any other candidate, about six times. And to finally meet him in person and to watch him up close in person, great event. So I applaud you guys.
Well, thank you.
Well, hey, let's get started. We have a U.S. Senate debate tonight, and this comes on the heels of a Rasmussen poll released just about an hour ago that shows Richard Murdoch at 47%, Joe Donnelly at 42%, and, of course, Andrew Horning they didn't include him in that. And what makes this very interesting is that the Fred Yang Christine Matthews poll that was done for Howie Politics not too long ago did include Andrew Horning, and that was a 42-40 lead, I believe, for Donnelly in that one, with 7% for Horning. When you see polls like this that doesn't include someone that was polling at 7%, what do you make of this poll, and why would they do that and put it out there as news when the accuracy is probably tilted at best?
Yeah, I think, number one, I think it shows how dramatically out of touch the political class is with Americans. And I've been guilty of this. I've worked at a news talk station here in Indianapolis for 4 or 5 years, and then went on and I've worked here for 4 years. And I've been guilty over that 8 years of just not really understanding what I think most Hoosiers connect with. And I've had a wake-up call as I've gone out with Rupert and, you know, talked to and met with thousands of Hoosiers over the time that he's gone out and talked to people. And I see the people who don't follow politics daily or the 70% of the voting age population that does not turn out to vote. And I think this is one of the reasons that we don't have 70, you know, we only have 25 to 30% of our population actually voting, because the political class is just out of touch. You know, they have two choices, the left and the right, the Republican and the Democrat, and they look at it and they say, well, only one of these could win, so let's just exclude the libertarian. Rasmussen probably doesn't know anything about, you know, libertarians, and they probably don't understand the strength that we have in the state, and so they think it'll be an accurate poll, but it's not. I mean, I'm not good at math. I'm not a mathematician. Democrats would probably say I'm not even a smart man. But if you have a poll that has two choices and then none of the above, or I don't know, when you have three choices on the ballot, there are three choices on your ballot automatically. I don't understand how you can take these polls seriously. And I don't know how you could be a member of the media and quote these polls and take them seriously or pretend that they're accurate, because they're 100% not. But, you know, I think it just the political class is out of touch, and we have to get it together. We have to actually get out of our ivory towers and start talking to people, because you look at these polling numbers for libertarians, and I think what you'll see on Election Day is the growth for libertarians. And it's not just angry voters. It's people who are libertarians. They don't look at the labels. They don't look at R or D. They don't listen to the campaign rhetoric. Libertarians look at the results. The results the Democrats and Republicans have garnered. And I don't think anyone looking at any level of our government can say that Republicans and Democrats have done a good job. And, you know, this goes back to the whole wasted vote nonsense. You know, I just probably would be in that 70% camp. I probably wouldn't vote, because I don't want to elect one of these two parties when they get these kind of results. So I don't understand why these pollsters and pundits don't take us seriously when, you know, everybody has three choices on their ballot. It's ridiculous.
When you take a look at this poll, this Rasmussen poll, there is, I'm going to say, rumors out there, and I don't know, maybe you can quell this, maybe you can pour a little fire on it, that there is a poll done by the Libertarian Party that shows Andrew Horning in the low teens. Is that, can you confirm or deny that?
I can't tell you any numbers. I honestly, I'm not the one doing the poll. I don't have access to the poll, so I can't confirm or deny at this time any of that. So, but I would say that Abdul is usually a very smart man who knows stuff before even I know it.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
I know, yeah. Sometimes he'll call me on the phone and he'll go, "Hey, is this true?" I'm like, I thought I was the only one that knew that. So.
Well, what do you expect from tonight's debate? You're going to have three men up there: Andrew Horning, Richard Murdoch, and Joe Donnelly, all vying to be Indiana's next U.S. senator, depending on what poll you believe. My guess is it's a very tight race, and Andrew Horning probably polling a lot better than libertarians usually have. Is this going to be a contest where maybe Donnelly and Horning are beating up on Murdoch a little bit?
No, I mean, I think a lot of people know Andy. Andy has, you know, when, 4 years ago when there was a poll done in the governor's race, he had 17% name ID, which was higher than the Democratic nominee at that time, Jalon Thompson. Now, so I think a lot of people know what Andy's about, and Andy's just going to reaffirm that. You will not often find a libertarian candidate that will go after, you know, a specific candidate. You know, they may go after the two-party system or the results that the two parties get. But I think you'll be hard-pressed to hear Andy actually go after Murdoch or Donnelly specifically on issues. That's just, I don't know what it is. It's in the libertarian DNA. They're genuinely nice people. So they, you know, like Rupert is not going to go after Pence or Greg. He just cannot do it, you know. So I think it'll be interesting to see at what level Donnelly and Murdoch go after each other. You know, and that's often when libertarians can kind of pick up a win in a debate with a lot of independent voters, is that how nasty that gets. You know, Dan Coats and Brad Ellsworth 2 years ago just went after each other all the time, and it was nonstop, and it turned off a lot of voters, and it really helped Rebecca St. Burris at the time. So I'll be interested to see how, you know, there's no doubt that it's going to take place. These two are going to start bickering with each other like an old married couple, but how intense is it, you know, and how nasty will it get? Maybe it doesn't. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, it's happened before once or twice.
Yeah, I say that too. My wife likes to remind me that it's more like 10 times that. But, you know, when I take a look at the campaigns, and I'm going to look at the Murdoch campaign, he's been hiding out. He's been not doing a lot of public events. His handlers are keeping a tight rein on him, putting tape over his mouth, something like that. I go on to Twitter. I see, the Murdoch campaign tweeting at least 10 times the rate that they have in the past. A lot of negative stuff coming from the Murdoch campaign and their surrogates. It kind of reminds me a little bit of those last two or three weeks of the Lugar campaign back in the primary. Do you get that feeling at all?
Yeah, and I think that's who they are. They like to complain about Andy Horning being in the race because he might be a spoiler, you know, and really maybe they ought to look at their own behavior. I just think it boggles my mind how, you know, Republicans call libertarians irrelevant until they need libertarians to blame for their own failures, you know, and I just look at the way that campaign has been run, and I think it's just one of the reasons that percent doesn't want to vote. You have a candidate who doesn't want to interview for his job. He doesn't want to talk to voters because he's afraid he might say something stupid, so he just says nothing. And that's not fair to voters. I don't think a lot of people across the board, despite the fact that Murdoch has run for office 9 times, I don't think a lot of people really know what Richard Murdoch is about. And I think they ought to know. I think Donnelly, you know, if you live in Evansville, I don't think you have any clue who Donnelly is. And, you know, voters need to hear an honest discussion of what these guys are going to do, what their philosophies are, what influences them. And instead, I think what you're going to hear is a lot of mudslinging. I think you're going to hear people just sitting there thinking about how the other guy thinks and you should elect us. And, you know, as a person who advises a lot of campaigns and talks to a lot of candidates, I just always tell libertarians, talk about what you do, what influences you, what you believe, because they know why they don't like Republicans and Democrats. They need to know why they like you. And that really probably should be the way that all three of these candidates handle it tonight. But we'll see. I don't know. I don't think they're going to take my advice. So.
Well, while we do have you on the phone here, I want to look ahead a little bit to Wednesday night's debate and the governor's debate. What can we expect from that again, especially with John Gregg and Rupert's strong performance in the first one? And to be honest, Mike Pence's poor performance.
Yeah, I expect Pence will probably come out with a little more passion. I'm sure they had him, you know, practicing, smiling a little bit more. And I think you'll see Greg kind of ratchet up his attacks just a little bit more. I think that's what grabs headlines. That's the media hook, is how much do Greg and Pence go at each other. And so I think you'll see Greg probably go after Pence a little bit more. And I think you'll expect Rupert to talk more about what Rupert believes in, you know, more about educational reform, bringing back vocational training, and a lot of the other issues. I mean, like, it's just the same with the Senate debate. It, you know, go back and talk about what you believe, why you're running, why you think you'd be the best candidate, and spend less time on the other guy. And, you know, but unfortunately, that doesn't grab a lot of media headlines in this day and age, so you've got to be combative, and you've got to make it like some kind of nerd sport. You know, who won the nerd Super Bowl? You know, it's just ridiculous. So it's not... Politics is not entertainment. It's not a sport. It costs way too much money and way too many lives for us to treat it like that. But, you know, that's why we don't try and go after other candidates. We just try to stay above it and talk about what we care about.
When I take a look at the libertarian candidates, especially in this U.S. Senate race, I shouldn't say that. I'll say both in the U.S. Senate race, the presidential race, and the governor's race. There's only one party, one set of candidates that seems to be telling the people what they actually believe in, what they're going to do. And that's Governor Johnson, that's Andrew Horning, and that's Rupert. The other, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats this race, they're just trying, it seems to me, to keep their mouth shut and try not to say anything that's going to hurt anyone's feelings, I guess.
Well, and I think you've heard Andrew Horning talk about it, and you'll probably hear him talking about it tonight. You know, these guys spend a ton of money to get a job that pays very little. You know, Rupert talks about $20 million between the two candidates spent on a job that pays $100,000. And that comes with strings. So you want to say as little as possible to offend the people that you need to pay back. And that's why you have very carefully orchestrated campaigns, and you don't want to go out and talk about issues that, you know, I just find it disgraceful. And as a third party, we're not beholden to any of that. So that's why we talk about issues. And secondly, I think there's very little results. You know, when you look at the substance, when you look at the results that the two parties get when they're in charge, there's not a lot of difference. There really isn't when you look at the results. There's a lot of difference in rhetoric. There's a lot of difference in the way they campaign and what they tell you they're going to do. But there's not a lot of difference in substance. If you look at the foreign policy and the civil liberties record of Barack Obama, it's almost identical to George Bush. You know, and
it seems just carrying on the previous administration's or carrying the previous administration's water, it seems. Hey, Chris, we're running out of time, but real quick, tell people where they can find you, Facebook, Twitter, website, all that good stuff. And you'll actually be up here tomorrow, part of our political roundtable with Blair Englehart breaking down tonight's Senate debate. So go ahead.
Yeah, it's at Chris Spangle. It's like Star Spangled Banner without the D. And then check out lpin.org, as in Libertarian Party of Indiana.org, and check out some of our candidates and what we're talking about and what we believe.
Thanks a lot, Chris, and we'll talk tomorrow.
All right, take care.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.